through his word. Father, thank you so much for all that you've already done, what we anticipate by the power of the word of the living God, the good news of Jesus, that our lives will be impacted, not just for a moment, but for destiny, I pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'm going to look at a lot of scriptures, but what I want you to, if you've never underlined this in your Bible, you never circle it, if you don't do that, get over it and just get your pen out, your pencil, circle this. In Matthew 7, I'm going to read 24, 25, 26, and 27. I've been talking about the power of decision and how one decision can either launch you into your destiny or one wrong decision can become an incredible hindrance in your life. And if you're here today and you're listening, the gospel has the power to change our lives. And the gospel has the power, when we allow it to transform us even out of painful circumstances that we may find ourselves in. And I just want to go a little bit more on that if we're in a situation here today, and it's an unpleasant one, when you hear the gospel, the power of the good news of Jesus will lift you out of that. You'll get this immediate feeling of strength and power that comes into your life, and it sets you free. It's like a burst of freedom that'll come into your life. It'll make you feel better. But let me tell you something. It will not do what God wants to do long term in your life. Listen to this now. Long-term privileges are experienced when we not only hear his word, but when we do his word. Hear me now. And look at what he says here. He says in the word that you and I will never live a life free of attacks, of trials, of challenges, of setbacks, of mountains that we got to climb. And he says, but when they do come, that if we're listening, not only listening to him, but we do what he tells us to do, we can get through it. Jesus says in Matthew 7:24, he said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, look at the word, and he does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on the house. Anybody ever been there in life? Sometimes people want to say, well, if you become a Christian, all your troubles will go away. And that's the biggest lie that you have ever heard in your life. God never promised that your troubles would go away. But he did promise you and I that he would help us through our troubles. He would help us through our pain. He would help us through our indecisive, poor decision making. He says, when they blew and they beat on the house, it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. Then he goes on to say, he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man. He built his house on sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house. And he said it didn't just fall, but he said great was its fell, was its fall. Great. In the decisions that we make, we must make the decision that we will not only hear what God tells us, but we will do it as well. We will take this word and it'll become a part of our lives, so it is second nature to do what he tells us to do. And you know, the word incision, I said this last week, means to cut in, but decision means to cut off. And sometimes making a decision means that you have to cut some other options off in your life that do not line up with your destiny and the future that God has called you to. And when we make decisions, we need help from others. Oh, my goodness, I was on the phone so much this week with people that had just gone out and they made a poor decision. And they never asked anybody about it before they did that. And it breaks my heart. And I shared these scriptures last week out of Proverbs 11:14, that where there is no counsel, people fall. When you and I make the decision that we're just going to go and do whatever we want, when we want, what we feel like when we want, the end thereof, my friend, today is we're going to fall. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. You will live a life of disappointment when you do not allow mentors and people into your life that have a stake in your destiny to help you through the process of making a great decision. And let me say this too. This doesn't only pertain to the younger crowd. This pertains to the older crowd as well. Don't shout me down now. Your enthusiasm is overwhelming me. You know, sometimes when people reach a certain age, they come up with things like, I'm going to do now what I want to do. I'm old enough now, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You don't, I'm old, I've gone through this. What do you know? Older people do that. Probably none here. But we need help. And you know what else I found out? That mentors, most likely they are older than us, but not always. Not always. Oh, sometimes I get so aggravated at my sons when they will pop out with this burst of wisdom over my life. And I don't like it at the time. I've got my mind set. I know what I want. I know where I'm going. And they'll just drop this little, just this little bomb in my life and say things like, what do you need that for? What are you going to do with that? You know, I'm not a hunter. I don't mind people hunting. I think it's great. I'm not a anti-gun owner. I'm not marching for it, anything like that. But I do own some guns. I do have some. I just like them. I hardly ever shoot them. I just like them. It's just something I like. Don't judge me for it. One day, I got inspired hanging around the guys, and I'm thinking, I want to go buy another pistol. I have a pistol permit. And I told my son Garrett, and I'm all ready to go. I saved the money, and he just says out of nowhere, what do you need another gun for, Dad? You know, I just wanted to tell him the mind is own business, but that just marinated in my mind. What do I need it for? What value did it have to me? And I need some people in my life that can help me make a good decision. And I was on the phone with somebody, and don't even try to figure out who it was. They live out of state, live a long ways from here, that told me that in their older age, that they made a financial decision, that they got together with somebody that said, I've got a quick way that's going to make you hundreds of thousands of dollars. And can I tell you, there are no fast ways to making money. If somebody comes up and says, if you'll buy into this, I'm going to make you all of this, run the other way. Get some counsel. And here this man now is in his later years of life, and he's paying a debt off that somebody made in his name in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know why? Because he never got counsel on it. He never got counsel. And my heart is saddened by the amount of people that get at an older age and get caught up in these different little schemes and things where somebody says, we're going to make you money. Give me everything you've worked your life for. I'm going to double it overnight, and you're going to live happily ever after. And they walk away broke, busted, and disgusted. If you're going to make a great financial decision, get with somebody that knows something about finances. Don't pay attention to the flash in the pan promise that says, I'm just going to get this for you. You're going to be happy forever. You are going to be stuck with a bad decision that you're going to pay for the rest of your life. Right. You can amen me if you want. If you don't, I'll amen myself. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Because I've had people come to me and say, what am I going to do now? I've lost all this. I've had this has happened to me, and that's happened to me. Come on, we need to make decisions. We need to get other people involved in our lives. We don't want to come to them after the fact. We want to come to them before the fact. If I have a nutrition question that I don't know enough about it, but I know who I can ask. If I have a financial issue, I don't know about it, but there's people here. Jack Wagner, he's a financial guy. I can ask him. I want to find the people that are in my life that can tell me something about my destiny and the decisions that I connect with it. You need to hear me now. Listen, for some of you older people, a man told me this, and I never forgot this. He said, don't die old in a shallow grave. Listen to that now. people work all their lives. They serve all their lives. And they get to a place in their life where they just make a decision and they end up giving it all away and dying in a shallow grave. I'm telling you, I'm going to go the distance. Praise God. We're going to make good decisions in our lives. I'm going to be sitting up on this front row. I hope when I'm in my 80s and 90s and who's ever preaching up here, I know these young rascal bucks, they want to push me out of the way. But I'm going to be right on the front row. I'm going to have a hanky in my hand. I'm going to say, preach that kid. Preach that kid. I'm not dying in a shallow grave. I'm going to go the distance and serve the Lord with passion. Come on, are you with me on that today? And we've got to make the decisions that will help us and keep us away from creating hurt and pain in our future. Yeah, I'm just going to share a couple thoughts with you today. Great decisions come. And every week I've just wanted to give these decisions and give these thoughts to you for you to ponder, and for maybe one of them will click with you and say, you know what, that's something I need to do. And that's what I'm going to do today, just for a couple moments. Great decisions come when we keep our heart and our mind set towards God. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says that Daniel was coming up against some opposition. And the Bible says that he was in his upper room, and he would open his windows that faced Jerusalem, and he would get on his knees every day, and he would pray to God. He would shut the world out, and he would look towards the face of God. Can I tell you today, when you set your heart and your mind on facing God, that God will help you in the process of decisions in your life? He will give you great wisdom. He will give you strength. He will give you understanding to help you make the decision that will bless and prosper your life. Listen, I'm not making decisions now just for me either. The decisions that I'm making now, personally, I'm making them for my grandchildren and maybe my great-grandchildren in another 20 years. Great decisions also happen. Listen to this. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's one of the Ten Commandments, not 10 suggestions. Remember the Sabbath day. Once a week, as the earth rotates on its axis through space, it's a reminder that as the earth goes around, that we come and receive the message of creation and the one who did the creating. And God says for us to remember it, because if we forget the Sabbath, we forget who the Creator is. And He speaks to us when we change our regular scheduled program and we put God first. I want to talk to some young people today. Maybe you're here, you're young, you're getting married, you're going to get married. If you'll put God first, if you'll make Him first, you'll keep that Sabbath holy. God will lift you. He'll elevate you. He'll bless you and your family. You might not see it in the first week, in the first month, but can I tell you something? I'm standing here. We just celebrated 39 years of marriage, and my kids, they don't know what it's like not going to church. He will take you. Yes, amen. Come on. He will lift you up higher. He will give you opportunity that not everybody has. He will open up great blessing to you that you won't see other people having. He'll cause you to walk into a Starbucks. Nobody will be there, and you'll look around. There'll be 25 people behind you. That's the favor of God. That was funny. You must be thinking deeply right now. I remember after I got saved, I asked my father-in-law, who was working on the farm there. I said, if God called us to set aside the Sabbath and not work and just keep it holy, why did He create these cows that we have to milk 2 and 3 times a day? That's an honest question. And I'll never forget what He said to me. He said that God knows what you have to do, but He wants you to consider what you want to do. Keep it holy. The first service liked that statement a whole lot more than you did. You got to get to the point where you're not opening up the curtains and saying, well, is it raining? Is it snowing? Is it cold? Is it too hot? Is it this? Is it that? And you keep it holy before the Lord. And if you'll make that, if you'll set that apart, it will impact the process of your decisions for the rest of your life. And God, He knows your heart and He knows what you'll be asking for. He will help you with it, but you got to surrender it all to Him. God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, my people have committed two evils. He said, number one, they've forsaken me, and the fountain of living water, not of dead water, of living water. And then he says, they not only forsook me, but now they have hewn for themselves cisterns. They're broken cisterns, and they can't even hold water. Doing it my own way. Walking away from the very life that God says he has promised to us. And we turn away and we turn even aside and put him second and third. And we allow the world to help us make these life-giving decisions that he wants to be a part of. And when he's not in the midst of it and we make the decisions and the process that we go to, they won't even hold water over time. But his intention for you and I is to get close to the fountain of living water. And then he will release unto our lives joy unspeakable. He'll give to your life peace that passes understanding. He'll bless your marriage. He'll bless your family. He'll bless your finances, because the God of the living water is not just a little drink you take once in a while, but it's something that you've committed your life to, and now he's committed his life to you. And Jesus tells a great story in John chapter 4. He meets a Samaritan woman and he asks her for a drink. And she goes, why are you asking me? And he says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water. Verse 13 says, Jesus answered and said to her, moreover, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. Speaking of natural, speaking about things on this earth. Some of you, you probably did some things this week that's going to make you do it again, because it will never satisfy you. Never. But he says, whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will be a fountain of water springing up inside of you into everlasting life. Oh, that is such good news today. That he'll help you. He'll be that living water that you don't have to live and work under the decisions that you just want to make with your own life. But you now can let the living water of the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth lead you and guide you. And because of it, he's blessing you. Favor is on your life. The goodness of God is surrounding you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. They'll attempt to hurt you. They can't prosper. God says, you're going to rise up. You're going to speak to it. And it's going to go in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus said, if you'll drink from his well, you will never thirst again. Psalm 107:9 says, he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Isn't that a good word? John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Not just temporal, not just a hit here and there, not just something to make you feel good just off and on, but when you take him in your life, he transforms you from the inside out, and he'll fulfill and he'll heal. And you know, the things of the world just make you go back again and again and again. But when you drink of his water, it fulfills something inside of you like never, ever could anything ever fulfill inside of you. I just want to sow these few little seeds with you, and I'm going to close in just a minute. These are so good concerning our decisions. When we do these things, it transforms us as people. First, we need to learn to speak health, joy, and prosperity to every person that we meet. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. How about when we meet people? How about when we come to somebody, we bless them? We speak joy over their life. We speak health over their life. We speak the peace of God over their lives. Do you know something that I've learned over time? That when I speak it over other people, guess what happens? It comes back into my life. We need, in our decisions, we need to make everyone that we meet feel that they are special. Listen to this in Psalm 139. You alone created my inner being. You knitted me together inside my mother. I will give thanks to you because I have been so amazingly and miraculously made. Your works are miraculous, and my soul is fully aware of it. You know, every person in this place, everyone that you meet, I don't care whether they're saved or unsaved, whether they're living for God or living against them, God says they are special because whoever they are right now, he was there when they were being formed in their mother's womb. And he says, I've made you miraculously. You are amazing. Come on, I just want to look at every one of you in the eye and tell you, you're amazing, you're a miracle, you're a blessing from heaven above, you've got a destiny on your life, good things are coming your way. Listen, making the decision, we need to have a godly thought life. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Are you going to make a good decision? You have to have your mind transformed to begin to think about the things God says to think about. If you're going to make a great decision, you got to be enthusiastic about the success of others as you are about your own. Listen to this. Learn to rejoice with other people. Learn to get excited when something good happens in somebody's life. If you're still living with that twinge that comes over you when you see something great happen for somebody, you need to take that to God. Because until you get delivered from that, that great blessing that God wants to pour in your life will be hindered from coming into your life. Be enthusiastic about it. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each one of you, the interest of others. I used to speak at these, this is a business conference, they'd have it, and I'd go in there maybe 3-4 times a year. There'd be 4,000 or 5,000 people in this conference they would have, and they would be giving away Bentleys. Does anybody not know what a Bentley is? I mean, these cars are, they're unbelievable. And I was just dumbfounded. You'd go there to the convention center, and they'd be lined up. There'd be a dozen or 15 Bentleys, and they were giving them away. And I looked out at there when I get up to preach. I go, now listen, I'm happy that you all are getting these Bentleys, and I want one thing. They all thought I wanted one. I don't want a Bentley. I said, I just want to drive one. You need to rejoice over other people's success and the good things that happened in their lives. Listen, if you're going to make great decisions, you need to learn to release the mistakes of your past and press on to a greater opportunity for your future. Proverbs 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's got great plans for you. Make the decision to have a cheerful countenance always and show love to everyone you meet. Do you want to know one of the greatest experiences that you could ever have in your life? It's when there's just, has anybody ever just met somebody, they feel like they've been born to be grouchy? I saw one of the ladies and say, yeah, I'm living with one. No, I just joking. You know what one of the greatest experiences you can have is this when people are grouchy and you know they're going to be miserable. You just walk up. You got this big Jesus smile plastered right across your face. You hug them and tell them you love them. Bless them. And, oh, I'm so glad to see you. They will be so dumbfounded by that. 1 John 3:8 says, children, let us not love with words or speech, but let's do it with action and truth. I'm tired of hearing people say, oh, I love you, but when I really need it, where are you at? I need to feel and have some of that love touch me sometime. I need to have that cheerful countenance come to me and encourage me. You're going to make great decisions. You've got to learn to spend time improving yourself so that you have no time to criticize others. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What can you do to make you better? Quit trying to make everybody else. Quit getting mad. Well, if that guy that I work with, if he wasn't there anymore, Let me tell you something. God put that guy there to do what he's doing in you on a regular basis. Am I working up here, Dan, this morning? Get out of the criticism mode. Get into the loving mode. Make the decision that you're going to show love and you're going to allow God to use that person to sand off the edges that you have in your life. Make the decision to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus the Lord. Come on, do you believe it today? Come on, if you believe that, it's going to help you and I to make the decisions that we need to make in our lives, to go the distance in our lives. I want to pray for you today. I want some of the prayer people to come down here. Close your eyes and bow your head just for a moment. If that was you I was talking about later, that you've got a chain that has been wrapped around you and you felt God do something in your life, I want you to come down before I close today. And I want you just to tell somebody and say, hey, would you just agree with prayer and prayer with me? Just your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a minute. I always want to give people the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. You may be here today and you've never given your heart to Christ. You may be here and you've made decision one after the other that seems to end on a dead-end road somewhere. It ends in heartache, ends in despair. The best decision, the first one you need to make, is to give your life to Jesus. You can do that before you leave. You come down here and when I close in prayer and just say, tell one of the folks that are here to pray with you, say, I want to give my life to Christ. They're going to help you. They're going to pray with you. If you're here today and you've been struggling, that depression, that heartache, the reaction from bad decisions in your life, God wants to help you through that. He wants to lift you up out of that today. Hallelujah. Oh, I give you glory for it, Lord. He's going to break that stronghold of depression off of somebody's life here today. I sense that so powerfully here. You will not live with that in 2017. He wants you to completely surrender that to Him. Praise your name, God. I'm going to close in prayer. And if any of these things have touched your heart today, you just need God to help you in this process of decisions. You come down and ask one of these folks to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask you today in the name of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I sense God's Holy Spirit just working in somebody's heart and their life. So beautiful right now. Thank you, God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord, today. Father, I just ask you to give the strength where strength is needed, to bring the peace and the hope where that's lacking. I pray for some that are here today that are sick in their body, that you would touch them and you would minister life and health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. I pray blessing over your people today. Lord, as we hear your word and we obey it, I ask you, God, that we will experience the privilege of these long-term blessings over our lives. We give you thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody agreed and said amen.